Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
It's Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with co-host Graham Ewing tonight.
Hello.
Graham, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Not J.R. Ewing, but Graham Ewing, better.
Even better.
Well, I appreciate you being here with me tonight. It could be a slow night, you know, the night before 4th of July.
Yeah.
And, you know, looked at the roads. The roads were empty tonight.
They were.
And, you know, when I came out of the office tonight to come here at around 5:05, normally the parking lot is full. There was only like six cars in there.
Everybody's off.
Everybody's going on vacation,
going to
you
have
know?
Fun, yeah.
Yeah, and they're all going to the big parade down in Washington, D.C. with
they
you.
They are.
You're going down there, I heard.
I'm going to ride on the tanks.
Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and direct the conversation tonight and determine the course of what we're going to talk about in personal finance, it's something that would be beneficial to you. And if you feel that there's something you want to learn about tonight, you ought to call in. 410-922-6680 and direct that conversation in the direction that is most beneficial to you. And since this is going to be, possibly a slow night, tonight might be a great night to call in and ask your question. You can get a lot of time to help answer whatever it is that's on your mind. Maybe there's an issue going on in your 401k. Maybe you have an insurance issue. Maybe you have an estate planning question. Maybe you have an elder care issue. Maybe you have company benefit question. Something going on with your retirement planning and want to know, you know, if things are going to going to work out for you long term. Whatever. If it has to do with personal finances, we're here to answer that question for you. Right, Graham?
That we are.
All right.
That we are.
So we do have a couple people calling in, so we'll wait and see when they get all lined up here with Chris. We'll go to them. So I just wanted to remind you, it's 410-922-6680. Before he gets that, anything on your mind, Graham?
Well, a big question that, you know, we always get is, when's the next recession coming?
People ask that a lot.
You know, there's a crystal ball out there that says it's happening in 2 months.
You know, it's been 30 years since they've had a recession in Australia.
30 years. Wow.
30 years. Now, there are a lot of people that argue that Australia hasn't had a recession in 30 years because they're a commodity-based country right near China.
Yeah.
And China, for the last 30 years, has been growing rapidly and so forth. I don't buy it. I just think that their central bank has done a much better job at controlling the flow of cash in the country, and not like our central bank. Like right now, Jerome Powell's making a major mistake. There's no doubt about it. He's got short-term interest rates much higher than long-term interest rates. I think it's a mistake. And, you know, sooner or later, hopefully, he figures that out himself. Sure. Anyway, we're going to Eileen in Pikesville. How can we help you?
Yes, a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about something about perhaps an annuity for people under 60 or 50, that it would be a wise thing for them to put their money into?
We would never have said that. You know, so it might have been somebody else that you've been listening to.
It might not have been an annuity. It might have been something else.
It might have been something else. I'm not really sure unless I had further context of what we were talking about. But, you know, I've been in this industry 30 years. We're fee-only advisors, Eileen, so it doesn't matter to us if our clients invest in stocks or bonds or annuities or houses or whatever. We want to do what's best for our clients. And in over 30-some years of being in this industry, we very rarely find annuities to be beneficial. But there are always exceptions to the rule, but certainly not under 59 and a half would that be an investment that somebody ought to be thinking about.
Okay. All right, I will have to try to remember what they said.
All right, well, if you do, you get back to us, and we'll help you out there.
And tune in for next
Thank
week.
You so much.
Because
yeah, next week we are going to talk about annuities with a guy named David Lau, and that's going to be a very interesting show. And we'll talk more about that next week. So let us go to Roy in Towson. Roy, how can we help you?
I have some U.S. savings bonds, double E.
Okay.
I just found them, actually. They were bought by my father in 1985. I am the POD on them, and he died in 2000. 15 years later, these are double E's.
What year were they? What year were the date of purchase?
It was
85. 1985. So those bonds have fully matured.
Yes.
And you should cash them in.
Right. So the question I had, because I went online and there's quite a gain, 25,000 or so of interest, coming to me. Now, the question I had is there a way that I can somehow transfer that without paying all the taxes? I
went
online, like the 529s.
No.
Put in that, but they had to be bought by 1990 or something.
They would have had to have been bought by 1989. That was George Bush Sr. that did that, and there would not be eligible for you anyway, because your father would have had to been the one to transfer it if they were bought after that date. There are no options that I can think of. You really just have to pay the taxes. And technically, in 2015, the bond's interest should have been paid in that year by law. I would just cash them in, suck it up, pay the taxes, move on, and thank the Lord for the money that your father left you.
You raise an issue. Could I be owing a penalty?
Nobody's going to penalize you. Just get them cashed in before the IRS does find out about them. But if you cash them in now and just take it, nobody's going to say anything. They'll just report it on your tax return, and all's good. All right?
Now, I have some double H's, same purchase date. Double H's, of course, they disperse income differently. And same thing.
Are they still paying?
Well, no, because the double H's go for 20 years.
Yeah.
And so these bonds are even further past.
Yeah, but they stopped accumulating interest and accruing interest at all. So did the other ones. Both of them stopped accruing a good while ago. So I would just cash them all in, buddy, and pay the taxes and move on.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the HHs just pay out. There's no, bond appreciation.
But are they still paying interest? And they're not,
Well, no,
right?
Because they came 20 years.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying just cash them in now, and you will get the principal that was put into them, deferred into them, whatever it might be. And I don't know what that number is. You could go to savingsbondwizard.com if you haven't already done that to find out the values of the bonds. All right?
Okay, I'm just wondering, because they were paying out after he died, where that money went. I mean, or they didn't pay out anywhere.
They could have been escheated. Have you ever gone on to look for the unclaimed assets in the state of Maryland?
So that would be a way to pursue that, yeah?
That would be a way to pursue that. The unclaimed assets, state of Maryland, see if your name is in there, your family name, your father's name. That's where that money might have gone, and you could get that all back from the state. All right?
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. You take care. I got a good traffic. I'm going to be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask your question. And we have people online right now. Rebecca in Littlestown, how can we help you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My husband passed away, and I have three sources of getting a trust fund that has a mutual fund in it and some cash. I'm getting an annuity, and I'm getting savings account. And my question is what is the definition of earned income, and how will that affect my taxes?
Well, I don't think anything she said was earned income. Earned income is only if you work and you get a salary, or if you run a business and you make a profit in your business. Those mm-hmm. would be the only types of earned income. You didn't list any of them. So the
what
only
about
thing.
Interest?
No, interest is unearned income, yeah, because it's interest, dividends, unearned income, capital gains, unearned income. Trust pay predominantly unearned income out. There's other forms of things that could come out of a trust, but rarely does a trust ever pay earned income to anyone. So, you know, you're going to pay just ordinary income, but no FICA tax. Earned income, the only difference between earned income and these other forms of income, well, there's a few differences, but one of the big ones is FICA tax, Social Security and Medicare. You owe that on earned income, but you don't owe it on unearned income. But now you have the NIIT tax, which is called the Medicare tax.
There
but it's really not Medicare tax. It's NIIT tax, net investment income tax.
Yep.
So, but they use it to help fund Medicare. So anyway, I hope that answers your question.
I sort of was concerned because I get a subsidy from Obamacare, and it's based on my earned income, I think.
No, your Obamacare is based on your adjusted gross income, modified adjusted gross income. And so all of the things you listed are included in the Obamacare income number. So if your income is over what you projected, let's say you told them your income was going to be $28,000 and all of a sudden you make $40,000, you're going to owe them extra money back at the end of the year when they file your tax return. All right?
So the trust and everything else is gross income, not earned income, right? That's what you just said, right?
Yes, it's gross taxable income, adjusted gross taxable income, but it's modified adjusted gross taxable income. So there's things that you can deduct against it, and there are things that you've got to include in it. So it is it's slightly complicated, but it's not real complicated. If you look at page one and, what is it today?
Yeah, what is it? Schedule
it's page one and schedule one and 1040, right?
Yeah.
1040 and schedule one will help you predominantly figure out what your adjusted at gross income is. All right, Rebecca, good question. We got to go to Bob or Rob. Is that Bob or Rob? Rob. In Pasadena on Social Security. Bob.
Hello, yeah. Drew.
Is it Bob or Rob?
Bob.
It's Rob. He wrote Rob. So we're going to call you Bob.
That's close enough.
All right. What's up, Bob?
Drew, my wife and I collect 1.5 times my Social Security.
Okay.
My question is, should my wife exceed my lifespan? Would she collect my full Social Security?
Correct. She'll collect your full Social Security and lose the half that she's getting of yours.
Okay. That's what I thought. I just wanted to double check.
Yep. That's the way it works, my friend. All right?
All right. Thank you, Drew.
Take care. Good question. You know, you get that. You know, Social Security is very confusing.
You know,
last week with Mary Beth, the calls came in fast and furious. We're going to Charlie in Ellicott City. Charlie, how can we help you?
First of all, Drew, thanks for having a two-way call-in show.
Okay.
We're at another 40-minute dialogue with commercials interspersed.
That's true.
Two questions. Number one, I have a will. My wife and I both have wills. And with all our financial accounts, whether they be in banks, brokerage firms, or mutual funds, we have, you know, I don't know if you call it a POD or a TOD.
Right.
Okay, that's basically to avoid the whole probate issue. Is there such a thing dealing with our house?
Yeah,
is that,
so call it a life estate.
And how does that work?
So you just go to an attorney if you want to go to an attorney, and you have a deed written up. And, you know, you have a deed right now that says Charlie and his wife bought property from John and his wife or something like that. And it says, and you own this property now, and it says you own it, tenants in the entirety, more than likely, okay? Well, if it's a life estate, it would go on a little further, and it would say, oh, and by the way, if Charlie and his wife die and neither of them are alive, then we leave the property to these people, you know, okay. And it'd be your children.
Well, my son's an attorney. I don't know if he's ever done one of these, but he's pretty adept, so.
That's not difficult, I'm sure. He could easily do it. But, you know, you also have to be very careful about putting beneficiary designations on everything. You have to really think it out. One thing to be very careful of, and this is something I see a lot, where, you know, some people would put a POD on for this child on this account and put a POD on this account for this child. And, you know, and you got different accounts with different children's names on it. And they say, this is Johnny's and this is Joni's. And then all of a sudden, somebody goes into a nursing home and they use Johnny and Joni's account, but they don't use Billy's account. And next thing you know, they die and Billy gets a lot of money and Johnny and Joni's all got used to pay for the nursing home bill.
In this case, my wife and I are first listed as first, and I only have two children, and they're listed as secondary 50-50.
Well, wait a minute. So let me go a little further then, Charlie, okay, just to make sure that you're thinking this out. Well, let's say that, God forbid, one of your children passes away before you two, but you two, you know, grief and so forth and your age, you don't get around to changing that beneficiary designation. Who inherits the money if one of your children that passed away had children? Does his 50% go to his children, or does 100% go to your surviving child? And my guess is most institutions are going to say 100% to the surviving child. And you have to be very careful about that, because if you don't get that little tag phrase in there with rights of representation, or per stirpes is the Latin way of saying that.
Now, which that's on the POD or on the will?
On the POD, because the will has nothing to do. The will has no power over the POD.
All right. I'll check into that.
So, you know, you either have to take the chance that you're going to be able to go in and change the beneficiaries if, God forbid, one of your children would pass away before you two. Or you've got to get that little per stirpes on there next to each of your children's names if you want to make sure that that might work. And that doesn't even assure the whole thing either. That's why a lot of people just default to the will.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Second question is,
yeah.
We've been hearing for 2.5 years with Mr. Trump that the economy is doing great. Unemployment is way down, like a 40-year low. But yet we don't seem to be, every month, be creating a lot of new jobs.
Well, I think we're down to the lowest.
I'm just scratching my head saying.
Well, but we're down to the lowest unemployment rate ever, right. And the participation rate has risen more than it has in the last few years. It's still below average, but it's still up more than it's been in a while. So I don't know why you would say that we're not generating a lot of jobs. We've generated quite a few jobs since he's been in office.
We don't seem to be generating, on average, any more per month than the last 4 years of the Obama administration. Yet, quote, the economy's supposed to be roaring.
Look, let me tell you something. First off, I'm not a believer that presidents have anything to do with why the economy does good or bad. You always watch the Federal Reserve chairman. The Federal Reserve chairman is far more important than the president when it comes to economics. And as I said to Graham earlier, Jerome Powell is making a serious mistake keeping interest rates the way he is, with the long bond down to 1.95% right now, and he's got the one-day rate at 2.5%. It makes no sense whatsoever. He's making a major mistake. He's hurting the economy, and it's time he gets out of the way of the economy. Anyway, I got to run, Charlie. Good question. I got to go to traffic. I'm going to be right back with you, Tom, after this break, but if you want to get online, 410-922-6680. Get in line now, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're on an open show tonight. and I'm here with Graham Ewing, and we're taking your calls. And if you want a direct conversation, now's the time to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And we're going to Tom in Baltimore City. Tom, how can we help you? Social Security.
Good evening. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Quick question. Was married 25 years, and understand possibly the ex-wife will be, have access to half of my Social Security?
Did she work herself?
She just started. She was a homemaker.
Okay. Yeah, she will, but it won't have any impact on you and your Social Security.
Then it won't be half then.
Excuse me?
So then it won't be half.
So here's the way it works, Tom. You get your Social Security, period. Whatever your Social Security is, you get it, okay?
Yes.
And so let's say that's $1,500 a month. Let's just use that number. You get it. When you go in, you get your $1,500 a month. Now, she goes in, and she doesn't have her own earnings record. She can say, look, I was married to this guy, Tom, for 25 years, and I'd like to see if his half of his is higher than all of mine that I've accumulated in a short period of time. And if it is, they'll give her half of yours, but that's $750 to her with no impact on you. Even if you got remarried, your new wife could continue to collect $750 off of you also. So it's a kind of funny system how it works, but your Social Security is not impacted at all what she does if she collects off you or not.
Okay.
All right?
That helps a lot. Thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care. Good question, though. You know, a lot of people are confused by that.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, Jack Friel, Mr. Social Security himself.
That he is.
Does a whole thing on, you know, Tom gets married 10 years, gets divorced, gets married 10 years, gets divorced, gets married 10 years, gets divorced, then gets married and has a kid. And he starts collecting Social Security, and then he dies, and everybody, all four of the the late wife and the ex-wives all get to collect off of him, and the child gets to collect off of his Social Security account, and it doesn't affect anyone negatively at all. It's a really wild system. Anyway, we're going to Nancy in Elkton. Nancy, how can we help you?
Yeah, I'm curious about, if you play the lottery and I'm retired, and if I did win a lot of money, would I lose my Social Security?
No, not at all. Social Security is irrelevant of how much unearned income you make, or if you win the lottery. Social Security is only impacted if you're under the age of 66 and you're still working. So if you're over 66, you could be Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. Like, Warren Buffett collects the Social Security check, and it's irrelevant how much money he has and how much money he makes.
And that's even your retirement, too. If any retirement, you still get that.
You get it all. You get it all, Nancy.
Right.
So you go ahead and win that lottery.
Oh, I doubt it, but I just was thinking, I waste so much time thinking about it. And I said, what if I do, and it messes me up. All righty. Thank you so much.
All right. You know, she wins the lottery. I don't think it matters.
I don't think Social Security.
Depends on which lottery. She wins one of those scratch-offs for $1,000. Yeah. I don't think that'll help her, you know. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Their call line's open. We're going to Mark in Woodlawn. Mark, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions, but the one I've been trying to get with you with is, I need a heart transplant. So what I've been doing physically, I'm not going to be able to do much longer. So I was thinking about doing tax liens, but I can't.
Okay. You still there? Mark? Mark?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Good. Yeah, I can hear you now, buddy. Go ahead. So you were thinking of doing tax liens.
Yeah.
So you have money to invest.
I have my 401k to invest, which is probably about $200,000.
Yeah, but you can't easily use a 401k to invest in tax liens.
Why is that?
Well, it's just not that simple. You would have to get those. You'd have to get your 401k into a, excuse me, into a private, self-directed 401k account.
Already there.
All right, and then you would.
And I flip houses out of that money right now.
Now, when you flip houses, you got to be very careful that you're not doing the work yourself. Okay.
And that's correct. I don't even do anything, including selling it. I'm a realtor.
Okay, well, you got to be careful that you don't do what's called a prohibited transaction. But it sounds like you're doing what you need to do if you want to do tax liens with your 401k money, if it's in that kind of an account. So, yeah, you could do it then, and you're doing the right thing. I just didn't know your sophistication in that. Sounds like you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, my problem is finding someone to teach me the business. I've been to 4 different companies, and all of them have just stolen my money.
But there isn't a lot to learn there, Mark. You go to an auction, you bid on the places, and you put up the cash to pay the taxes that they owe. So let's say John is in default on his property taxes on his house to the tune of $12,000. You go to the auction, and you think the house is worth $300,000, and you bid $180,000, and you win. You win the bid. You say, okay, $180,000. And you put up $12,000 to pay his property tax. And then what will happen is if John doesn't come up with his property tax in a period of time, you win the bid and you pay $180,000. The state gets their tax dollars and he loses the property. The state takes the property away from him, gives it to you, and pays off any mortgages that he owes and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, but that's pretty straightforward.
Okay, how do I find out where all the tax auctions are across the country? Is there a book?
They're advertised online or they're advertised in newspapers. I would just call down to the city, the tax collection department of the counties or the cities that you want to buy properties in and ask them when the tax auctions are.
Okay.
That's pretty straightforward.
Can I ask you a question about the security of my retirement?
Yeah, you should be claiming Social Security disability. You would get approved easily.
But what about my retirement from the county?
What
will
about
I
it?
Lose that?
No.
So I won't lose any of the benefits or anything?
I don't think so. I can't imagine that there's anything you would lose. That's not the way the counties, Social Security and the county work in conjunction together. There are certain pension plans that if you start collecting Social Security, your pension reduces, but it's only because you made that deal. But that's not the way that most counties work.
Okay. And so I have no limit of money, correct?
No, it's only earned income you would have a problem with. Like flipping houses could be considered earned income. So you
but
have
that's
to
going into my 401k.
And if it's going into your 401k, it wouldn't be considered earned income, so you'd be good to go.
Yeah, I thought years about how to set this up.
Yeah, well,
and it was listening to you that, you know, helped me guide me.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that I could be helpful to you, my friend.
You are one of the greatest people I've ever met or heard of in my life.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm sure there are many greater people than me.
He must know it's your birthday month.
It is. It's me. I planted him here to call and make me feel good today for my birthday month. Mark, I appreciate it. God bless, and I hope you get that heart if you really need one.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Take care. What are we at? We're on a pause. We got to take a pause. We're going to go to traffic in a second. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, we're on an open show tonight. Mark, hold on for us right now. We got to take it away. Traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives.
Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
See, it's birthday month, and so maybe we'll get good music this month.
Maybe.
You know? Green Beret maybe next week, you know? Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. And Mark in Woodlawn on tax liens, I did want to, talking with Graham after the, I said, you know, I ought to tell Mark in Woodlawn that he's got to make sure there's equity in those homes he does those tax lien auctions on, because, you know, you don't want to be stuck with a property that you've bid on, but there's more mortgage and debt on the property than you'll ever be able to get out of it to pay the mortgage. They get the first rights on the property. You only get it afterwards. So you got to make sure you have good equity in those places. Mark in Pasadena, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So my wife has been a commissioned hairstylist forever, and she's looking to move into one of the shops where she'll do the chair rent. So she'll basically be self-employed.
Okay.
And so I started looking at the estimated taxes, and I can find the Maryland and the federal taxes, but I can't find where she would pay Social Security and Medicare. Is that something she's not going to have to worry about?
Oh, no, that's the biggest worry she'll have. So the way it works is the form SE, self-employment, SE, Sam Eddy, and it basically works out to 15.3% of everything she makes. But then she gets a half of that, 7.65%, as a tax deduction on the adjustment to gross income. So let's say she makes $50,000. She'll pay 15.3% on that $50,000, but then 7.65% of that will be a tax deduction on the adjusted gross income, adjustments to gross income, Schedule 1, I believe it is now, right? The new tax return.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to be very concerned about that when you move from your employer paying half of your 7.65% of your FICA tax to where you're now all of a sudden self-employed and you're paying the full 15.3%, but you do get that tax deduction, right? So the tax deduction will be a benefit of all of your income as well as hers. But you always got to be very careful and thoughtful about how much more money you're going to make in that self-employed position as compared to the employee position where somebody else was paying 7.65% of the amount of money you were making.
Gotcha.
Did I make that clear as best as I could?
Yeah. And so all that information is found on that SE form also then, right?
Yeah, when you're going to do the tax return, okay? So here's how it works, Mark. You're going to do a Schedule C for the small business owner, sole proprietor, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where she's going to report all of her income minus the rent of the chair and any other expenses she had, right?
Yep.
Then you're going to come down to your net income. Your net income then going to flow over to the Schedule SE, Sam Eddy, self-employment. They're going to take that and multiply it by something like 96% or something. Don't ask me why. It's just follow the form. Anyway, you just 90s. And then you multiply that by 15.3%, and then whatever half of that is going to go over to this adjustment to gross income line, and you're going to get the deduction over there, and that's how you're going to end. So, I mean, what's your income in general? $5,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000?
Between the two of us?
Yeah.
Probably
150. So my guess is that her net FICA tax is going to work out to be about 12% or so after the deduction of half. As opposed to 7.65% that she's currently paying. But remember, that depends on how many deductions you get. And are you able to come up with some deductions that really, you know, are helpful deductions, but not really deductions that cost you as much money as you might, you know. Did I say that as diplomatically as I could?
I knew what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And she's got other deductions that she's able to write off for, you know, supplies and those kind of things. So, and so when I go and I typically do my taxes on like a TurboTax software.
Yep.
And that would be picked up in there also. Correct?
Oh, absolutely. Once you do the Schedule C, my friend, TurboTax will immediately flip that over to the Schedule SE and start to calculate the self-employment tax on that.
Okay. And now so here, then when I'm sorry, go ahead.
Here's one little trick for you to think about, okay? I'm going to assume that your wife and you save money for the future, right?
Absolutely.
And you have some cash and investments that you have that aren't in retirement accounts already?
Yes.
So you want to be looking into an I-401k, or some people call it a solo 401k. You ever heard of that?
I have not.
So what it is let's say your wife does make $50,000, okay? If she has an individual 401k or a solo 401k, and the you know, it's a 401k plan for a company who only has one employee, me, right? It's my company. My only employee is me. So therefore, the rules are a lot lesser than if I actually had employees. So here, you know, here's the way it works. So I have $50,000 that I made. I can put, how old is your wife?
43.
So she could put in $19,000 immediately of the $50,000 into the I-401k if she wants to. And she could pull that $19,000 from any, you know, bank account or investment account that you have out there and take it as a $19,000 deduction. Or she could put it, if she does the right I-401k, she could do a Roth 401k and she could put $19,000 into a Roth account and grow tax-free. Or she could do a combination of the two if she does it right, and she gets a 20%, well, it's actually 19% or so deduction of the gross income in addition to the 19. So if you, let's just use 20 to keep it simple. That means she could do $10,000 as an employer contribution plus the $19,000 as an employee contribution. So out of her $50,000, she could do $29,000 in deductions if she wanted to and you wanted to, or in Roth contributions and pre-tax deductions. It's a great strategy, one you definitely have to implement. If you don't, I'm going to be very mad at you.
And it's his birthday month.
Yes.
And so, sorry, for the quarterly payment of the estimated taxes.
Yep, that's complicated, but simple but complicated.
So figuring out how much to put in is one thing, but when I need to pay those FICA taxes, is that all paid to the...
Estimated taxes. And it's only paid on the federal. So when they calculate your estimated tax payments you should be making, they're going to calculate how much she's going to owe in state and federal income taxes, but they're also going to add to the federal how much extra she's going to have to pay in FICA taxes. And it's those FICA taxes that are going to hurt and sting the most. Trust me on that one.
Yeah, we're already kind of figuring that out.
That's why I tell people, you know, you really don't want to be self-employed unless you're going to make a good $200,000 or $300,000, get well over that Social Security level, then it really starts to benefit. But there can be great benefits for somebody making 50 if they know how to do it right. All right, guys, I got to run.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Real quick, we're going to Jim in Ruthburg, see if we can answer your question. We only have a couple minutes.
Yeah, I'm turning 70. I won't start my withdrawal until January.
Okay.
How do I just transfer it into my wife's Roth?
What are you talking about? Your Social Security you're taking at 70?
No. My
RMD.
Your required minimum distribution.
Right.
Yeah. So you just take the money out whenever you want to, and you then, if your wife is eligible for a Roth, you put the money into the Roth. Pretty straightforward. I've done it many times for clients.
Yeah, but I mean, can I direct the person who handles the Roth money, my IRA, to just put it in hers, or does it have to go into my account and then I have to take it out?
You have to go into your account first, and then you have to move it over. You just nobody's going to do it direct.
Okay. That,
so you have to have an in-between account, like a joint account, let's call it. So that's what I do with a lot of my clients. I move it from the RMD, from the IRA to the joint, and then from the joint I go to the Roth, whichever spouse is eligible to participate. And remember, you're able to do a Roth, too, on any earnings that she has as long as your income's right. So you don't have to be working to do a Roth also. Only one of you has to work.
Oh, we both work.
Well, you know, you could do a Roth, too. If she can do a Roth, you can do a Roth.
I can put it into a Roth after...
Yes, sir. Roths don't have a 70-and-a-half rule. Only traditional IRAs do. All right? Good news for you, Jim.
Yeah, it is.
And it's my birthday month, and I'm giving you gifts on my birthday month. All right. See you, Jim. Good question. Why did he think he couldn't do it? You know, a lot of people think that.
Sure.
No, the Roth, if you make money, you can do it up to age 100.
Yeah.
But not traditional IRAs. Anyway, Graham, we got to run. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. I'd like to do it.